This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We have on the line the industry's troubleshooter, Lou Migliori. He heads up LGM Technical Carpet Services, and he's a regular on this program. And Lou, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. And Lou comes on our program, and he talks about some of the problems he's called up on out in the field. Some of them he actually solves, I understand. I did hear a rumor about that.
At the time, yeah.
And this is a particular interesting one. I know we've talked about concrete and the problems that that many installations have dealing with, I guess, having the concrete not quite cured when it's insisted they put the floor coverings down. And this is a commercial installation where I guess this was a major problem with a vinyl flooring installation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's correct, Dave. And just responding to a comment that you made, more and more we hear of issues with concrete and moisture in concrete and the causes, that being the cause for failures and industry standards for moisture vapor emission rates being at 3 pounds for products and some are 5 pounds, and the proliferation of adhesives and sealers to be used because this is becoming basically an epidemic in the industry, and it's challenging all facets of the industry, particularly the installation of products that are adhered to concrete substrates on or above grade, but not necessarily so, because they can be 20 stories in the air and do a and be in a non-vented pan pour and still have moisture coming out of them. So there's a lot of variables that have to be taken into consideration when looking at a failure or a problem on a concrete substrate, even insofar as going back into each load of concrete and what the slump rate was on it and how much water was placed in it and ambient conditions and environmental conditions and weather conditions and all kinds of things. In this particular case, however, we're looking at an installation where the slab is on grade and there was a massive failure of a hard surface vinyl flooring on the surface of the concrete. So much so that it actually, the material is literally blowing itself off the floor. Now, there are some extraordinary circumstances which exist here, and you have to take a look at each one of them in order to understand this, and we'll try to do this as succinctly as possible. But first of all, let's take a look at the flooring material itself, which was being stored in a portion of the building which was under construction, this building, and the flooring material, being a vinyl, was stored in an area where there really wasn't a great deal of heat, and it was being brought in from that area to the place in the building where it was going to be installed and put down on the floor, which was tested for moisture, by the way. But the concrete itself, well, let me wait till I get to that. The interior of the building was being heated, but the air handling system that was going to actually maintain the building was not operational. The general contractor was using portable type units to heat the inside of the building. So you have inconsistent heat in the building. You've got conditions being created by the type of heater being used. You've got flooring material that has to be acclimated in a warm environment in order to be installed, being brought in from a cold space into a space that is pseudo-conditioned, I guess would be the best thing to say about it, and installed and consequently failing on the floor. Now, after arriving there and seeing how catastrophic this failure was, and you know, I've been in this industry for 34 years and see a lot of things, and no two are ever exactly the same, but this was, I've never seen anything like this. This was a massive failure, visibly so, where the material was completely deformed on the floor, and as we did the research on this, found that this material, vinyl, won't be affected by moisture, but it is affected by warmth. So you put the stuff down on a cold substrate in an environment that is not heated properly, and you bring it in from a space where it's, for the most part, cold, and the material itself is cold, and then eventually it relaxes itself on the floor, and at that point it wants to grow when it gets warm, and it'll actually start doing contortions.
And that was the problem with this situation.
That was one of the problems with the situation. So that was the problem with the installation of the material in the environment. Now, I was talking to the general contractor, and the more we went along with this thing, the worse the scenario got. The concrete was only down for 5 or 6 weeks prior to the flooring material being installed upon it, which is ridiculous, because you need to have at least 180 days of cure time on the concrete, and you should have the space warmed at that time to what the operating temperatures are going to be within the building. None of that existed. The other thing was that the concrete was poured. There was no roof on the building, and it rained for a week straight after they put the concrete down. So it was inundated with water to the point that they had to squeegee it off every day after they poured it. So not only was it not cured, but it was massively saturated with water from rain that had fallen upon it. So now you put stuff down on top of this thing, not allowing it to cure out or dry out completely. You don't have an environment that's conducive to installing anything, and you've got particularly a product that is very susceptible to being acclimatized before it's installed, or else it will deform or grow and consequently buckle itself on the floor and lift off the floor and everything else. And so the in the course of the conversation, we're talking to the general contractor, and was, you know, mentioned something about the concrete, and he says, you know, this is not a concrete problem. And I said, and after he had explained all of this to me, I says, you're right, it's not a concrete problem. I says, the problem is that they're giving you 28 weeks from start to finish to put this building up, and they expect you to open it, and everything in it's got to go in, and then, you know, we wait until one of those things fails. And what is inevitably going to fail in a situation like this is the flooring material, because there's no way in the world that any of this, first of all, conforms to any of the guidelines or standards that have been established by not only the flooring industry, but the manufacturers of the flooring materials. There was no way this was going to work. Nothing they put down on the floor to make this installation full strength, and I can't find the word right now to use, but to keep it from failing and to stay put after they did glue it to the substrate was going to work. There's nothing they could put on the concrete that was supposed to have sealed it or contained any moisture that was going to work, because the conditions were not appropriate for any of these materials to work according to the guidelines under which they have to be used.
So what happens with this thing, Lou?
Well, what happens? That's an interesting question and an excellent question, Dave. The dealer is, you know, the end user is responsible for some of the failure because they're pushing this contractor to finish this job within a certain period of time. The dealer is at fault because he needs to know that there's no way in the world that as soon as they said that this concrete was 5 or 6 weeks old and they started to install on it, right there we stopped. Because there's no way that anything should have gone down on these floors at that point in time when the concrete was not cured and not aged the appropriate length of time. So, and then the component manufacturers may get dragged into it simply because they were party to, you know, their products were used in this installation. So there may be a fight, and fortunately, where this particular product exists is not the entire building. It is in a section of the building, and it's a fairly large section of the building, but you can go in there and remediate this. Unfortunately, yeah, you're going to have to take some drastic measures in order to fix it.
Now, is everybody going to share in the blame and the cost?
We haven't gotten to that point yet. I would imagine that's going to happen just to keep the peace, that everybody's going to have to participate in this to a certain extent. The other thing that concerns me is that the building itself, the area that's being affected, is close to plantings on the outside of the building where there is sprinkler systems, and there is also drains coming down that drain into the earth not far from the footing of the, or from the slab. So this may be an issue even if it can be fixed later on. But in order to fix it, it's going to have to, there's going to have to be some very extensive remedial work performed on the slab and the area in which the failure has occurred in order to get it into a condition so that it'll accept the flooring material.
You know,
and they may not be able to use this stuff again. They may wind up just painting the floor in that area.
You know, Lou, you have all the fun.
Yeah, it's, you know, Dave, you're absolutely correct. And I know that you're doing that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it is fun to me. I'm passionate about everything that I do. I every day is fascinating to me because it's new, it's different, it's intriguing. It's like solving a crime. You're putting all the pieces together. There's a lot more to this than meets the eye, and it's not just walking out and seeing what is the obvious. You often have to look for what's not obvious to find out what the problem is, and particularly when you're dealing with these large commercial claims that I get involved in. And that's one of the reasons why people hire me, because I have this insatiable appetite to find out on a molecular level almost what went wrong, why, whose fault is it? Is it one person's fault? Is it a failure of an individual? Is it a failure of a component? Is it a failure of the installation environment, and how do we fix it? Not only to determine, and that's where you take it to the next level, not only what's wrong and why is it wrong, but can it be fixed? And if it can, how are you going to fix it? And what are the, what's the potential for any further failure down the road if you just try to fix this, if in fact it can be, or do we have to go take drastic measures and pull everything out and potentially not even use this particular product again. So
yeah, I hear you.
I've got clients who will not install anything unless we get involved with them, and more and more and more our business involves this, and more we've got not just end users and attorneys, and a lot of my work is with attorneys, but we've got more and more manufacturers coming to us and asking us for help with particular questions or to help look at some documents that they may have and what they're saying about the application of their particular product and what they're not saying that they need to be saying to keep them out of trouble.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fascinating. To me, it is fun, and if it wasn't, I wouldn't have been doing it for as long as I have, and I don't get tired of it. It's just every day it's exciting to me. It's, you know, for some people, you know, I often kid that I work in the drain of the sewer of the industry. It's a very painful thing, and I deal with painful situations, which everybody, you know, people inherently avoid pain in our lives. We don't like to move towards pain. People like to move towards pleasure. But in this case, someone else's pain is pleasure for me, not only in the fact that it affords me an opportunity to have a very unique business, but it also is challenging to be able to come up with answers for things because you're learning every day as you're doing this. So it is fun, and I thank you for bringing that up because it's given me an opportunity just to make that statement.
Well, it's fun talking to you, Lou.
Well, thank you, Dave.
And we'll talk to you next time.
All right.
We've been talking with Lou Migliori. He's a regular on this program. He is the industry's troubleshooter. He heads LGM Technical Carpet Services. This is Floor Radio. Thank you.